Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Good evening, girls.
Good evening.
Welcome. We want to say welcome here just north of Seattle and Everett, Washington, wherever you're listening live or on Memorex, I guess those of us that passed the 70s know that one. But anyway, if you're live or listening to replays anytime, we have a bigger audience of people that listen to us later. It's the Listen Later group. So we want to welcome our friends from Orange County, California tonight, our friends from Manila, Philippines. And joining us, a group that's going through some life coaching, and they are in the L.A. area. We want to welcome you, ladies. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to open in prayer, and then my co-host tonight, Tammy Salt, is going to be starting. We are in the book, The Gift in You by Dr. Caroline Leaf. We're talking about individual gifts. And if you want to take the test, be able to see where your gifts lie, you can get your book on Amazon.com. It runs about $20. Give or take shipping and tax. So if you'd like to follow along with us, that's how to take the test. And it's how long does it take that test? A long time,
about
isn't it?
20 minutes.
No, that's
yeah.
So.
20, 30 minutes. So put some time aside for that because you're going to learn more about yourself. So let's open in prayer tonight, and I'm going to hand it over to Tammy, the other Tammy, and my sister Debbie. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We pray that you'd be with us as we listen to the words that are in Caroline Leaf's book and how she emphasizes the pillars of our brain and areas that we are good at in our life. We thank you that we all are uniquely and fearfully, wonderfully made the way that you made us. In Jesus' name, amen. We also want to say hello to Layla, who's listening in Arizona tonight.
Hi, Layla.
She's a little more popular than the LA group that nobody knows.
Hi, LA. Okay, so we're in Chapter 8, Maximizing Your Gift. Understanding the structure of your gift is imperative to living out your gift. Hosea 4:6 says, many people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's not perish, but rather soar as we move into a deeper understanding of our gifts and who we are. As we answered in Chapter 7, there are seven different areas of the brain stimulated when we process a thought, resulting in seven different types of thinking. Intrapersonal, which is introspective. Interpersonal, which is interactive. That was my granddaughter, sorry. Linguistic, which is words spoken and written. Logical and mathematical, which is scientific and strategic. This is not a place that my brain will ever sit for long. It might just kind of skip across like a skipping stone on the water. Kinesthetic, movement and experiential. Thank you.
I'm a big word.
Yes. See, this is why I'm not logical, mathematical one. I just followed up with that so you guys can understand. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm not there either. Musical, instinct, reading between the lines, musical talent. Now, I know it says musical talent. I have zero musical talent, but believe you, yeah, only because she wouldn't let me have a piano. But reading between the lines, I can do really easily. I think that comes with being a woman and being a parent or being married, even one. Visual and spatial is number seven. And that is imagination, seeing in the mind's eye, and I'm very much that. As we learned earlier, while all of us operate all seven pillars, we don't initiate the same ones at the same time. So, if, for instance, if you're heavier in visual and spatial, then that's where your information is going to go, and then balance to the other ones. It's going to, you're going to digest that information differently, kind of like eating food. Your digestion is different. Same with your brain. Let's first get a better understanding of how the gift develops. First, we receive information from our five senses, which are?
Sight,
sound, touch, taste, hearing. We receive that information. Second, we build connections to this information from existing information and memories. Now, what do you think that means?
Well, right, so as
we've learned over the years, we know what things are. I know that this is a cup. So when I look at the cup, if Sandra tells me to go take this cup and get water in it, obviously that's accessing prior information. I know what a cup is. So it doesn't necessarily, I was talking to my husband about this, and that's why I brought it up, because I was reading it, and he goes, well, you already know the information. How come it's accessing? And I was like, no, it's grabbing information from other parts of your brain to help bridge the gaps to help you perform the task or digest the information given. Helping our minds make sense of the new information. That's why it does that. Third, we consolidate this information into the trees, the neuron networks. Remember how we have these little trees that come down? This is our network of our cortex. Fourth, we confirm this information and decide if we feel it's true. Okay? So, you know, let's say somebody says, Sandra tells me that that wall over there is blue. Now I'm looking at it. I digest the information. Now I'm going to determine, do I believe that it's blue? Well, maybe I'm colorblind. And I have to rely on her a little bit more than, say, you and I, somebody else would. And I needed to digest that. Well, it comes in the next step. Now we're going to integrate the information into our networks and memories. So now I'm accessing to see what shade of brown is blue in my colorblind mind to see if she's telling the truth. Sixth, we apply the information to our present circumstances. And seventh, we close the loop. And I thought that was interesting that they say on seven they close the loop, because I was thinking, wow, I don't know that I always make a decision that quickly on whether or not I believe the information given to me. So as you read on, it says that is per thought process. So for instance, so I've decided that I'm not sure that Sandra's telling me the truth about the color of the wall. And I've gone through all seven processes and I've closed the loop. Well, now I start all the way back at the beginning and I go through the same process again. And you do that continuously until you come to a decision. Either I believe you or I don't believe you. It's accurate information or it's inaccurate information. And so you could do it 100 times. But every single time at the end of that thought, you close that loop and go back to the beginning of where you started. Interesting, isn't it?
And that's where we get our memory for the next time we're told.
You start, digging that blue.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, now I know that color of brown is blue.
Yeah, exactly.
I say that because Jeremiah is, well, he can actually see blue, but he's supposed to be colorblind, and we're not sure anymore. And it's funny because he can see brown, 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 blue. And so.
What blue looks like.
Oh, blue. Everything's blue. Everything's blue. And now it's funny because Sandra and I were talking. He's learning all of a sudden, and he's so smart. He is too smart not to be able to get his colors. So it's like, okay, something's wrong. Chris did this test, and it said he has this color blindness. Well, what's so funny is now he's starting to understand his colors. He can't tell you, like, light blue or light green, but he can say that's green. He has a hard time with red and orange, but think of how close to brown that is.
And right. Gray and black are the same colors.
Yeah. So it's interesting because he's already forming. So he's in kindergarten, so he's already forming. I know that shade of brown is actually green.
Yeah,
because he can see blue, the dark blue. So it's kind of interesting watching him learn that. Yeah. All right, so as we go, what did I do with the other page? Oh, so in the rest of this chapter, she went on to explain the different gifts her children have, and I'm not going to actually hit on those. That was really neat. I think each one of her kids has a different gift.
Yeah,
good. You'll be doing that.
Yeah.
So as we reviewed, each one of us has seven steps of our thoughts. of our thoughts must sequence through in order to develop and complete the thought loop and process the thoughts. One, in development stage one, information comes in through your five senses and activates existing thoughts in your mind. This is an experienced as an awareness of gathering information and the activation of thought in your mind just on the tip of the consciousness. So a lot of times you won't even really realize this is starting to happen, which is why it's so dangerous to feed your subconscious, because you don't realize how much you're absorbing. By the time you actually realize that your brain is absorbing information, you've gone through probably several loops of thought, and you've started digging a trench in your brain of that information, possibly. In the depth development stage two, you start to build a temporary memory. Now, if you have my memory, everything is a temporary memory, okay? Yeah, that's pretty much my memory. You experience this as a thought of new information that you may or may not want to remember. In development stage three, the information is consolidated. Basically, think of it as defragging a computer. You know, your hard drive, you defrag it, so it just kind of come clean out the empty spots and compact your information in smaller space. In development stage three, consolidating. You experience this as thinking. This is or isn't starting to make sense. In development stage four, as though to confirm accuracy, more connections are invoked. So now we're saying, well, I'm not sure I understand what you're telling me right now, so I need to access other parts, try to get that understanding in. And sometimes we have to access parts of our brain, one of those pillars that are not our strengths. For me, mathematical. Does 2 plus 2 equal 4? Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to have to really get into that really dark cobweb site over there and figure that out. In 4, did I say that one already? No. As though to confirm accuracy, more connections are invoked. You experience this as a feeling of this is correct or something is missing. I'm not quite getting the full picture. It's not quite right or it's almost right. In development stage five, integration into existing circuits starts and continues. You begin to feel you are gaining a level of proficiency. I'm taking this financial class, and it's funny because I was thinking about this while today, and the first two chapters that we did, and it's very, very deep, and the first two classes that we did, I just felt like I made a really big mistake by agreeing to go to this class, because it's just so over my head. And so I'm sitting in the chat room, or whatever you want to call it, the webinar, and we're going through these two chapters. It's the first time I've opened the book, first time I've seen it, and I'm thinking, my Lord, I'm never going to get this. This is just so much information, and it's just such big information. Well, on our second class, we went over the second chapter, and I thought, wow, this all makes sense. Well, I'd already read through it. And as we keep going, we're now discussing the chapter I read before, and it's interesting because I've already started those grooves, so it's not new information to me. It's just now he's filling in those gaps. Now he's making the stuff make sense. So it's kind of interesting knowing this and then going through that. Stage six is a level of application begins, and you experience this feeling of this is meaningful, I can use this, or I can do this. And development stage seven, the thought completes its first cycle. The experience this, I am starting to get a handle of what this means, or I really don't understand, or I don't need this, or I need some more help with this. Although the steps are the same for each of us, the area of the brain, the pillar of thought, that is stimulated in each step is very different. So I'm going to just run real quick through one more thing, and then I will hand it over to Debbie. God hardwired you to be incredibly gifted, every single one of us. And I know that sometimes that's really hard to see when we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves and we think there's all this wrong with us, or I'm lacking in this area, or I'm terrible in this area. But I think this is very much a time when you need to listen to that cliche and look at the silver lining, because we are all dipped in gold. We are intelligent people. The level of our gifting and the level of our intelligence that He has given us is developed by using our brain correctly and reaching the level of intelligence that we desire. So truly, you know, as we've been told, as we've grown up in the church, some of us have, or as we're learning to be followers of Christ, you know, He tells us, you have everything you need if you just ask in Me. Well, He's done the same thing in our brain, which is, you know, big surprise, right? Since He built us, He created us. Big surprise that He would give us everything that we need. Anybody that has ever dealt with serious illness, cancer in their family, anything like that, you will find that when a doctor comes to when he comes to treat you, the treatment is body, mind, and soul. And the reason why is because your mind controls more of your healing properties than any medication a doctor could ever give you. And that is the honest to God truth. You can make yourself sick, mm-hmm. and you can make yourself well. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's in your power. That's a power of God given you. You think it into existence. Your turn.
Okay, well, just like what you were saying, they say 75 to 98% of illnesses come from your mind, your attitude, your positive or negative thinking. So, chapter 9, the structure of your gift. Your brain is made up of approximately 100 billion neurons that have the potential to connect 100 trillion times. These neurons are clustered into the 7 pillars or columns that stretch from left to right across your brain. This is the scientific foundation to the unlimited potential of your brain. So given that, how in the world can people not believe there's a God? I mean, just that one little piece of information alone, let alone the whole human body and everything there is on Earth, it's just amazing. The borders of these pillars of thinking are not fixed, but rather free-flowing, allowing them to flow into each other, helping each other, especially when the brain has been damaged. And it's amazing how the brain can regenerate and help itself to heal when the brain's been damaged. And I know my sister, Tammy, could probably tell you a lot more about that since she's been studying the brain. But individuality and giftedness arise out of the different arrangements of the pillars of our thinking. For example, as the neurons fire in your temporal lobe, where language is processed, and if the arrangement of your pillars indicate that linguistics is the strongest part of your thought structure, then the firing neurons will be amplified in your temporal lobe, reflected in a higher level of skill, such as being very eloquent and good with words. That wouldn't be me. The left and right sides of your brain are being drawn together by the central part of the brain called the corpus callosum and its surrounding hub of thousands of electrical chemical circuits. This is an incredibly brain-healthy process which develops your intelligence as a bonus. Using your gift correctly is tremendously rewarding. When you do something, you think, wow, I really get it. I really get that, and it just makes you just feel amazing. So when you suddenly feel so good that you've understood something, it's evidence for you that your gifting has come into operation and you've used your brain in a way that it should be used. Grab that moment, grab that feeling, store it, frame it, put it on ice, and make sure that you become consciously aware of that feeling. These gifts the 7 pillars are actually act like dominoes, and they, as they fall, they push one another over, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Your order does not change with experience and maturity. So you stay you, just like you are, but you improve and become more intelligent. There's no limit to your intelligence, only the limit you set for yourself. The cycle of thought, we go through a loop of thought approximately 30,000 to 60,000 times a day, which is about 2,000 to 4,000 thought cycles per hour. And this is only the conscious awareness. Underneath this is the metacognitive, non-conscious level, where approximately 40 billion bits of information per second, 400 billion bits of information per second are going on. You may cycle through your pillars, gifts in this order: interpersonal, interpersonal, linguistic, visual, spatial, kinesthetic, musical, and logical mathematical. This would involve a flow of electrical and chemical activity through the different parts of the brain in this order. Now, if we just changed one and two, as in this example below, interpersonal, linguistic, visual, spatial, kinesthetic, musical, and logical, mathematical, this would produce a completely different type of thought pattern, a completely different perception of the world. And kind of what I was picturing of, it says when we all have our own perception of the world, I kind of pictured somebody in rose-colored glasses, and then that kind of brought me to like seven people sitting there, one with rose-colored lenses, and then with the others in six other different colors.
You know what? That is so exactly the brain, Deb, what you're talking about, because her pillars, what she's talking about is she's talking about the frontal, you know, all the areas of your brain that have all of these things like communication, musical, mathematical, things that use this portion of the brain. So she's just using the pillars as actually the sections of the brain through each process. So what Debbie just said is exactly correct, because if you're more a mathematical person, you are thinking things that are totally different even during church, as opposed to if you're more musical. I'm a more musical person, and we talked about that last week. Musical people feel music. They don't just see it. They feel it. It changes their mood. It can make you very angry. It can bring up memories that you never had before. You can turn on music. Like I said, if I want to not eat, I can turn on music from the 80s for when I used to be borderline anorexic. And I could not eat that day if I listened to 80s music. So it is, you know, it's totally how you look at things. And you know, she could have a book that would be called Rose-Colored Glasses. And it could be all the different glasses color, because it's exactly the way that she is looking at things. That was actually a perfect illustration.
So your gift has a purpose, and your gift is intentional.
Very good. So are you done with that part? Sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to add to that, too, that Tammy was talking about, you know, how some people process and understand. You know, there's a couple of us in the room that work with people that have special needs. Actually, there's three or four of us in the room that work with people. And we know that there's certain ways we follow a certain book on how they understand, and we have to communicate with them the way that they get, the way that they understand. But the way that almost everyone gets, regardless of what their IQ is or regardless of where they're at, you know, communicably or cognitively or whatever, they understand stories. And which makes a whole lot of sense, because think about the lowest person you talk with, the lowest IQ you talk with, whether it be a child or an adult with the brain of a child, you can talk to them in story, correct? I mean, yeah, you guys that are paras are going, yeah. And how did Jesus talk to us? Through parables. He talked very low story version to people of all levels, because everybody there could understand what Jesus said. Instead of saying, this is what I think of all of you, he says, first you have to be like a child. Well, instantly, that tells us exactly where that is, and it gives you way more faith. If you tell, you know, depending on how small a child is or if they have mental issues, you can tell them something and they will absolutely believe it. But there's a part that goes through your brain that either understands or doesn't understand that can be damaged with drug or addiction. It could be a damage with incident or accident. It can be a damage with abuse or being the abuser. And we have to understand it not only helps us to work in our own gifts, but it helps us to have patience with other people when we understand the damage that life has done to their brain. And it is literally a change in the way that they're thinking. That's why the Bible says when you are in me, new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And we have to daily claim that. It says every day you have to decide who you're serving. Every day. It doesn't say once a month or when you take communion or when you go to church or when you don't. It doesn't say that. It just says every day we have to commit to say, I am new, I am fresh, I am a new creation in the Lord. And we have to make that conscious decision, just like we have to turn off stuff if stuff is stressful. We have to turn it off. We have to leave it. We have to take a vacation in our brain. We have to make a mental decision that this is exactly what we are going to do. Dr. Caroline Leaf on, I think it's on YouTube, has a whole diet plan on how to train your brain not to overeat.
And it makes sense. It's very interesting how you can control more of your life than what you think. We cannot change circumstances, but it has power over us when circumstances change us, change who we are. And unfortunately, we get in a situation and we don't act like who we were meant to be, whether it would be abuse or abuse to ourselves or abuse from someone else, that we can beat ourselves over the head so bad that we're not everything that we should be. We are literally, you know, imprisoned in our own minds. And that's the scariest prison to be in. We'll do an extra there.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor director, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.